Well, my precious YouTube family, it's the 17th of May, 2015, 11:12 p.m., 1112. The ones remind me of God the Father and the twos of Jesus, and now it's 113, and the three reminds me of Holy Spirit. So we always recognize those numbers and give them praise and glory whenever we see those numbers. I wanted to begin tonight's message with just a little a note. We've had some pretty heavy oppression on us lately, and I put the word out to pray, and I want you all to know that God has answered your prayers. The oppression has lifted. Ezekiel is doing much better, much, much better. So thank you so much for your fervent prayers. I know that you really took us to task to the Lord, and he heard your prayers. Thank you so much. So we're back on our feet here. Okay, well, I talked to Carol today, and she told me that there's a lot of people who are not happy that the rapture hasn't happened yet. And I want to throw in my lot with you and say, me too. And I did give a message on that on Saturday, and I think the Lord was hoping that you would read it so you would understand. But I'd like to begin by acknowledging that we are all tired of waiting for the rapture, and we don't want to carry our crosses, and we don't want to suffer anymore. And where are you, Lord? So that's our flesh talking. That's my flesh talking. I admit it. That's my flesh. We are all feeling this way. But the Lord's message to us on Saturday was so beautiful. And I don't know if all of you heard it, but I hope you do. He pleaded with us to carry our crosses just a little longer. Please, I need you to persevere, he said. Souls are being reached because of your obedience. Well, I want to tell you, today, when we were so sick, we were both sick. We were both down. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of what happened with us today about carrying our cross in just a moment. But I'm asking you all, please, let's join hands and be strengthened and continue to wait for him with patient endurance. You don't see it, but virtue is growing exponentially in your souls. Each of us who are obedient to his call are becoming much more virtuous. So let's all stop being impatient and back him up. He's pleaded with us. Shall we turn our backs on him? I don't think so. When I came into prayer tonight, we were ice skating, and I was just a little girl. I saw myself as just a little, like 5 or 6 year old, ice skating with the Lord. And it was so exuberant and so joyful. And I needed something like that around that time. So it was perfect worship, just perfect. And then I spent some time with him and saw his face very clearly. And I touched his face very gently with my hand and thanked him for being my God and taking care of us all. He answered me. He said, I have longed to spend this kind of time with you. You've been under some serious oppression, but you should feel differently now. I gave the victory into the hands of your intercessors and friends. Lord, I really feel it. Ezekiel's so much better, and I feel normal again. He replied, that was quite an oppression. Boy, I'll tell you guys, it was really dark and thick and hopeless and, oh my gosh, it was just terrible. It was like pea soup. And one intercessor who I think had the major victory with it had seen a UFO very, very high above Taos, beaming down oppression onto our property until there was a dome of protection erected. And we see domes of angels frequently, but this time the Lord allowed it to get through. And what I was feeling was awful. I haven't felt that bad probably since the days just after I was saved. And there were just so many things coming after me because I was walking away from the darkness. And they didn't want me to leave, so they kept attacking me. But it was really dark. And halfway through the day, I was very weak, and I felt like I just had to lay down. I couldn't do anything else, and I realized right about that time, the Lord is allowing this oppression for some reason. This is a cross. It's a Simon cross. He's asking us to carry this cross because something's going on in the world that is grieving him terribly. And I didn't know what it was until I came back and opened my emails. And I had an email from one lady that was a cry from, a deacon or a priest or a bishop from Iraq, that ISIS had captured the largest city in Iraq with a large population of Christians, and they were beheading men, women, and children as we speak. And when I read that, my heart just sank, and I went into some serious prayer for them. And I think the burden somewhat lifted after a while, and that's when our intercessor came in and took care of this ugly UFO situation. So please pray for these Christians in Iraq. You know, they're not born-again, spirit-filled believers. They're liturgical church believers. And some of them, I mean, they're giving their lives for Jesus. I mean, wow. That's awesome. Little children are saying, I will not renounce Jesus. I love Jesus. And they're getting beheaded right in front of their parents. You know, so, you know, for people who attack the liturgical churches and say they don't love God and they're idolaters and everything, I think you better take another look at that. Because right now they're giving their lives for the Lord and witnessing for him. And I wonder how many people in the shopping malls here in America would continue to profess Jesus if they saw a guillotine in the middle of the room with blood dripping from it. Would they make up some story about they're not Christians? Or would they say, yes, I love Jesus and I'm not going to renounce him and get beheaded? I mean, let's ask ourselves some serious questions here. And please, 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 don't criticize people that you don't understand, the faith that you don't understand. These people really love God and they're giving their lives for him. So I prayed for them and the burden lifted. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, we prayed numerous prayers over the property, but it took one of our special intercessors to deliver us from this evil when the time was right. I asked for the gift that the intercessor had because this was something I didn't see. He said, Claire, my dearly loved one, I prefer someone else be given the honor. I want to see my brides working together in charity and selfless love to protect one another. I have given her this gift. I told the Lord, I said, I'd like to have it too. And he said, I don't want you to be independent. I want you to be vulnerable and covered by the charity and kindness of others. This is for your own good. I said, Lord, I understand what you're saying, but I feel so inadequate for this job. He replied, that's exactly right. You are. Oh, really funny, Lord. Thank you. No, I'm very serious. You are inadequate for this job. Okay, well, it's very seriously funny. And he said, yes, my love, it is indeed. But you're definitely inadequate for this job. And that's the way I want it. And I understand how he is with that. He wants me to be vulnerable and he doesn't want me to get all puffed up with pride that I can defend my own turf. And he knows me better than I know myself. So I'm not going to argue with him about it. I'm just going to receive it as God's wisdom. So I asked him, do you have a message for your precious bride tonight? He said, indeed I do. She is beautiful. Beyond description, every footstep, every intention is sanctified in holiness because she is mine. She has given herself over to me 100%. Her obedience is not just beautiful, it's exquisite. While the rest of the world is running to and fro in their own will, her footsteps are divinized by her obedience. She cannot see the beauty of her feet and each step she takes, but even that leaves a divine fragrance behind her. If I were to paint you a picture of the value of her obedience, you would see beautiful and perfect feet in golden sandals, studded with pearls and jewels, and each footstep would give off a sweet melody of chimes, and when she lifted her foot, lilies would immediately spring up and give off their fragrance. Luminescence would surround them and give off light. And the more difficult her tasks, the more wonderful the sounds given off, the more copious the flowers and fruits. And as she travels that well-worn path every day, fruit trees would begin to spring up on either side with delightfully fragrant flowers, and eventually delectable fruit that sustains even the most weary and war-torn of souls. This is the meaning her obedience has to me, and these flowers of love never fade like the ones on the earth. No, rather, they continue to multiply until there is a forest full of them. They are flowers that can be picked and last forever, giving off their fragrance throughout time. And I come to her garden and prune these trees and flowers, so they will give off even more fruit. And how beautiful is this garden, with its trellises and delicately hanging branches that are as pleasing to the eye as they are to the palate. You see, obedience is no small thing. Not only does it bring forth fruit for the moment, but in eternity as well. And I come into the garden and pick this fruit and ship it off to many different places where healing is needed. You see, there are graces invested in this fruit because it was done in love and obedience. So the grace brings forth a fruit that can be eaten and benefit others. Oh, the mysteries I would love to share with you all. So many mysteries and things that would amaze you endlessly. The doings of heaven and the spiritual life are without end. You see, this obedience creates an atmosphere of heaven of sorts. Truly, my kingdom has come, my will has been done. And oh yes, the devils hate these spiritual gardens and are constantly figuring out ways to destroy them. They mainly use selfishness, self-will. Pleasures of the palate can inspire selfishness. Worldly accomplishment can also inspire it. Anything that brings pleasure to self can be used to infest the garden with hideous worms and bugs that destroy everything in sight. The worms of pleasure attack the stems of the flowers. The little bugs of self-preoccupation nibble away at the flowers until they're unsightly and brown, and the mold of pride begins to grow on the roots until they can no longer produce and sustain the flowers. Yes, you can see all the other pests, but the mold on the roots is invisible in the garden. Fruit and blossoms begotten in pride never last. Once pride has entered the garden, all finally disappears. That is always the first avenue attack, pride. It will destroy everything you do, so you reap no eternal fruit from your paths. But back to the beauty of obedience. This past week, many of my brides were obedient. Yes, truly, they turned everything useless and worldly off for me, out of obedience and faith. And what fruit some of them have reaped. Healings in families, at greater depths with me, peace of mind and joy of heart. Relationships blossomed in an environment of selfless love. Do you not see the fruit in your own life? You may have lost contact with the world, but how much more have you gained in me? So if you have benefited from this time, continue to allow yourself more and more freedom from the mundane media and constant drone of negativity that is hyped in through the media. This is so deliberate and intentional of the enemy. It creates an atmosphere of fear, and he reaps so much destruction from people who are continually afraid and insecure. My brides, if you want to be holy for me, you must live holy. You must cast away the world and embrace holiness of life. You have no idea the fruit of these decisions, neither will you until heaven. So I encourage you now. I impart the grace of single-mindedness to my brides, that they will prune out every weed from the world and continue to walk the path of holiness, where you will produce fruit that is unto eternity.